السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي جعل الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر القطب الأعظم في الدين، وبعث له النبيين أجمعين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فيقول الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وأطيعوا الله ورسوله ولا تنازعوا فتفشلوا وتذهب ريحكم واصبروا إن الله مع الصابرين. ويقول الحبيب المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم: المؤمن للمؤمن كالبنيان يشد بعضه بعضا وشبك بين أصابعه. My respected brothers, revered elders and sisters in Islam, there's a YouTube video which has been seen by more than 60 million people. How many? 60 million. It has been viewed more than 60 million times. And the title of this video, it's called Battle at Kruger. So you might want to go home and watch it. And brother, are you watching it right now?
Well, I'm trying to record you.
Okay. All right, let's save it for later, eh? Okay. So it's titled Battle at Kruger. So in this video, which has been watched more than 60 million times, a few buffaloes, a father and mother, walking with their baby child. And they're walking on the plains, on the riverbank. And then suddenly, what do they see? They see that there are some lions. They started to attack the father and the mother and the child. So it seemed at the beginning of the video that the father and mother, they took off and they left the baby child behind. And that's what it looked like and that's what it seemed like. So then what happened was that the lions, they started attacking that small little calf, small little baby buffalo, to such an extent that the buffalo jumped into the water. So on one side, this baby buffalo is being attacked by lions. It was recorded in Africa. So on the other side, next thing you know, there's some crocodiles trying to attack the baby calf or the baby buffalo from the other side. So on one side it's being attacked by lions, and on the other side it's being attacked by crocodiles. And then there's a fight between both of them, and eventually this baby buffalo, it comes out of the water, and it's still on the riverbank, and the lions are, you know, attacking it here and there. And then suddenly you see from the other side, there's like 10, 15, 20 buffaloes, they're all coming together, and they're all united. And eventually they start pouncing on the lions, and then this baby buffalo is saved. So what do we learn from here? We learn the importance of unity. We learn the importance of being together. That in unity there's strength. In unity there's power. In unity there's love and affection. And in disunity there is breaking of hearts. In disunity there's hatred. In disunity there's animosity. So that's why, as a community, it is so important for us to realize the importance of being united. Now, in this gathering and in this hall here, there's people from so many different countries. And what I'll do is that I'm going to start asking around. And you can start saying yourself one after another which country you're from. And I don't want you to repeat the country again. So if your country has been mentioned, then, you know, don't try to prop up and bump up your country by saying it twice or three times. Okay, so let's start here. Which country are you originally from? I know you might be born in Canada, but your relatives or your parents, where are they from?
Libya.
Good.
Palestine.
India.
India.
Pakistan.
Habesha. Habesha, Ethiopia. Any other country here?
Bangladesh.
South Africa.
Bangladesh.
Bangladesh. Brother, somebody already said Bangladesh. Where?
Sudan.
Kurdistan. Kurdistan in Iraq? Yeah. You consider yourself from Iraq or not?
Yeah.
Inshallah.
Political question.
From where?
Somalia.
Somalia. You already said it, brother. What are you smoking, yo? Anybody else? Where?
Ghana.
Fiji?
Ghana.
Ghana. Burma,
Syria,
mashallah, yes,
Canada,
since when? Anybody else, any other country here? Good, good, mashallah. So we see here that in this gathering there's people from so many different countries, and we have original Canadian here, the real true one, So we have people from so many different countries, and we dress differently, we look differently, we eat differently. So there's so many different ways of doing so many different things, and this is natural. But as a Muslim community, our community in this country is one of the most diverse religious communities in all North America. That when you look at the people of other religions, you know, everybody's from the same country, same background. So it's simple to regulate, and it's simple to pass on advice, and it's simple to do things in that church or that synagogue or that temple. Why? Because everybody's all the same. But when it comes to a masjid, we have people from so many different countries who have, for example, different tastes. Some people, they like to eat food which has a lot of chilies. But then our Arabic brothers, their biggest enemy in the world is the chilies and hot peppers. To such an extent that they say in Arabic that Al-Arab la yakhafuna min al-fil, walakin yakhafun min filfil. Sahwalala. Naam, aywa. The translation of that is that the Arabic people, they're not scared of elephants. And that's true, because for those people who are glued to their TVs or to the internet watching Al Jazeera, what happened, for example, in Tahrir Square, they will know that the elephants and the camels, or the camels and other animals, they attack the people there in that Tahrir Square, Maidan al Tahrir, and they actually, they weren't scared, but rather they jumped on those animals and everything else. So the person jokingly is saying that the Arabic people, they're not scared of elephants, but what they're scared of, chilies and hot pepper. So that's why when we cook food in our community, we have to make sure that at least there should be some dish which has no chilies inside. And also, we should keep in mind that the children who are born here, they're not used to all this biryani or this hummus or this and that. They're more used to the pizzas and things like that, or the new Muslims. So we have to cater towards them as well as much as possible. But the point here is that when we are united, then it benefits everybody in that community. As the Arabic poet says, وَفِي كَثْرَةِ الْأَيْدِ عَنِ الظُّلْمِ زَاجِرٌ إِذَا حَضَرَتْ أَيْدِ الرِّجَالُ بِمَشْهَدِ. The poet says, وَفِي كَثْرَةِ الْأَيْدِ عَنِ الظُّلْمِ زَاجِرٌ. That when many hands get together, then the oppressor can be stopped and prevented from his oppression. But when will that happen? إِذَا حَضَرَتْ أَيْدِ الرِّجَالُ بِمَشْهَدِ. That will only happen when in the battlefield all the hands get together and they're all united. So my dear respected brothers and revered elders and sisters, now we need to realize the importance of being united in our communities, even though we have so many differences. We have so many variances. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخْوَيْكُمْ. That indeed all the believers, they're all brothers of one another. They're all sisters of one another. Irrespective of which country you're from, it doesn't matter what your background is, it doesn't matter what your color is. Islam is a colorless religion. Islam doesn't prefer one color over another. Islam doesn't prefer one race over another. So Islam is something which has united us all, and that is why we are here today. We are all here because we are all Muslims. So we need to keep that in mind when we interact with others, when we deal with others. That in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah mentions in the Quran, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. That the most beloved person in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be they male or female, is the one who fears Allah the most. So just because I speak a certain language, or I'm from a certain country, or my colors is of a certain complexion, that does not mean that I'm beloved to Allah. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you're from. If you fear Allah the most, then you are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear respected brothers, we see in another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. That hold on to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not be disunited. The rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here means, literally we can understand the importance of a rope. That a rope, it is a combination and it is made out of small little strands of thread. When small little strands of thread, they're put together, they're attached together, they're united together, then it becomes a rope. And that rope is strong, it's powerful. It's hard to tear up that rope. But that rope itself, it's a combination of those small threads. So those small threads themselves, we can just pull it apart and rip it apart and tear it apart, and they're not strong on their own. But when those threads, they come together, they turn into a rope. But the scholars of Islam, they mention here, bihablillah means the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and do not be divided. and do not be disunited. So my dear respected brothers, as a community which is comprised of people from so many backgrounds and so many colors and so many races and so many nationalities, it is vital and it is extremely important for us to be united, even though it might not be easy. But we need to keep in front of us the benefits and the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about being united. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gives a parable and an example, and he says, "Al-mu'minu lil-mu'mini kal-bunyan yashuddu ba'dahu ba'da wa shabbaka bayna asabihi." That the parable and the example of one Muslim with another Muslim is the example of the strength of a wall. They're every single believer and the Muslims united together, they're like a wall. And one brick strengthens another brick till that whole wall is constructed in front of them. So similarly, we are Muslims, when we are united, then we are like a wall. And as they say in English, that united, we stand, divided, we fall. United, we stand, divided, we fall. All these different countries which we mention right now, that should not be a reason to be divided amongst ourselves. It doesn't matter what country we're from. It doesn't matter which language we speak. We need to realize that we are all believers in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Islam has united us, and it is the people of the world today who are trying to disunite us. They say that you're from this country, and this person is from this country, and that's why you should be disunited. That's why you should be enemies with each other. That's why you should hate each other. No. We keep in front of us the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we throw back and we throw away and we discard all these things which could disunite us. We throw away all these things which could cause hatred and animosity amongst each other. So we should never feel that I'm better than the other person because I speak a certain language. My color is this color and that person is a different color, so that's why I don't like that person. I will not get along with that person. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. That, O human beings, pay attention, listen attentively. Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, we have made you of males and females. For what purpose? For what reason? Wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. And we made you into nations and tribes so that you recognize each other. So that you know each other. Because if everybody was the same color, if everybody was the same, from the same country or the same background and spoke the same language and did everything the same, then it would be hard for us to differentiate one from another. So these differences by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're not there so that لِتَخْتَلِفُوا, so that you are disunited from one from another. No, لِتَعَارَفُوا, so that you recognize each other, so you know each other. But who is the closest? Who is the most beloved to Allah? In akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. But sadly to say, we have disunited ourselves because of small petty reasons, because of political reasons. And it's not only disunity because of one language or another, but we have disunited ourselves from right from the country which we come from. For example, I'm originally from India. And in India, there are many states. But there are certain people from certain states in India who feel that because I'm from this state, I'm better than the people who are from a different state. Or for example, in Pakistan, there are four different states. And one state feels that because I'm from this state, I'm better than someone who's not from my state. Or I'm the true Arab because I'm from this country. Those people, even though they speak Arabic, but they're not the true Arab people. So this is how we disunite ourselves. And it's not limited just to breaking up that country into different states or different provinces. But then we break that same state into different groups as well. That from the state which I'm from, there are certain people who are from the northern states, from the southern states. Those who are from the southern part, they're better than those people who are from the northern part. And then we break that down even into more groups, more division. That from the southern states, from the southern part of the state, I'm from this city. So the people of this city, they're better than the people of that city. And then in this city, I'm from this neighborhood, and the people of my neighborhood are better than the other neighborhood. And then in that neighborhood, I'm the coolest guy around. I'm the lone one standing on Mount Everest. So look how much we have disunited ourselves. Look how much we have divided ourselves. That we started off on a country level, then a state level, then in that state we divided ourselves to such an extent that at the end, eventually I'm the lone one, I'm the best one around and nobody else is good as me. So my dear respected brothers and reverend elders and sisters in Islam, we see that the beautiful teachings of the religion of Islam, they're all trying their utmost and trying their best to create unity. The purpose of the teachings of Islam is to create this brotherhood and sisterhood. And that's why we see, for example, the importance of when we're buying something that we should be truthful, we should not be lying. Or that when we lend somebody some money or something, then we should go easy on the person. So, for example, these types of teachings are for what purpose? To create unity, to create love and affection, to strengthen the bond of the community. Or when it comes to the character and the morals of the teachings of Islam, all those teachings of Islam, they're there for what purpose? For the purpose of creating unity amongst the community, that say these things, do not say these things, tell the truth, do not tell a lie, do not backbite, do not spread rumors, do not gossip, do not say bad things about people behind their backs. What is the reason for that? When we act upon certain teachings, it unites the community. And when we go against certain teachings, then it disunites the community. For example, the Prophet ﷺ says that we should, when we see somebody, we should say salam and we should be the first one to greet each other. So what is the purpose of that? It creates unity. It strengthens the bond between each other. We should give gifts to each other. That once again, it unites and strengthens the community. When somebody is sick, we should go and visit the sick person. For what purpose? For creating unity. For creating the brotherhood, about worrying each other. When somebody passes away, we should attend the funeral. We should try our utmost to go to the graveyard and the cemetery as well. Once again, for what reason? For creating unity. For bringing the whole community together. And that's why we see that the Prophet ﷺ, throughout his whole life, he tried his utmost and tried his best to make sure that the community is united and is together. And that's why we see that with the Prophet ﷺ, there were people from different countries. For example, Bilal al-Habashi. Bilal radiallahu anhu, the mu'adhin of the Prophet ﷺ, the one who would call out adhan, he was from Ethiopia. We have Suhaib al-Rumi. Suhaib radiallahu anhu, he was Roman. And we have Salman al-Farsi. Salman radiallahu anhu was Persian, from Iran and from that side of the world. So we see that the Prophet ﷺ, around him there were people from different backgrounds, different nationalities, different countries, different tribes, and he made his utmost and tried his best to make sure that the community was always united. Why? Because when the community is united, so many great things can be done together. And when the communities are split, when the communities are divided, then there's friction, there's hatred, and then there's disunity, and because of that, there's so many harms and ills which affects communities which are disunited. We see once, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, one person from the Muhajirin, he struck out and he hit somebody from the Ansar. Muhajirin, those who migrated from Mecca to Medina. He hit somebody from the Ansar, from the people of Medina. So the Ansari person said that, Ya al-Ansar, and he called the Ansar and the helper brothers. And then the Muhajiri, he said, Ya al-Muhajirin, that, O Muhajirin, come and help me. So the Prophet ﷺ heard these announcements. Just like how sometimes we make such announcements today, that we try to rile up and we try to get together people from our country, or from our race, or from our background, for wrong reasons. So this was happening amongst the Prophet ﷺ. So he said that, what's going on here? So they said that one person from the Muhajir hit somebody from the Ansar, and the Ansari said, Ya al-Ansar, and the Muhajiri said, Ya al-Muhajirin. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Da'awha fa'innaha muntina. That do not say this, do not make these calls, do not try to rise up each other on the basis of countries, or backgrounds, or races, or nationality, and language. Why? Because all these things, they're putrid, they're nasty, they're filthy, they're dirty. So when we try to raise up each other, sometimes in our masjids, that, hey, you know, we're from the same country, you know, let's get together against this person who's from this country, who's not from our country, or something like that. All these things are disliked, and they break up the cohesion in the community. And that's why the Urdu poet says about the importance of having the worry and concern about every person in the world. The Urdu poet says, Khanjar lage kisi ko tadapte hain hum ameer,
ساری جہاں کا درد اس جگر میں ہے. خنجر لگے کسی کو تڑپتے ہیں ہم امیر, ساری جہاں کا درد اس جگر میں ہے. Which means that it doesn't matter who is stabbed in whichever country of the world, it doesn't matter who is injured in whichever part of the world. Sari jahan ka dard is jigar mein hai. That I have the worry and grief and concern of every single person wherever they are living in the world, and the whole world's grief and worry and concern is in my heart. So if something's happening in a country far off, in the other part of the world, and we might not be from that country, but just because we're not from that country, it doesn't mean that we don't care about what is going on there. We are all united by our religion. We are all united because of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So if somebody in the furthest part of the world is injured, is hurt, is oppressed, then that worries us, that saddens us, that puts us to grief and sorrow. Just because somebody is from a different country, a different background, a different language, it doesn't mean that we disregard that person, and we forget about that person, and we don't care about that person. No, we worry about every single person. Why? Because today I worry about somebody else, tomorrow I might need the help. Tomorrow something might happen to some people in my country, or my background, or my language, and I will need other people's help. So we all need to be united. We all need to worry and have a concern about not only ourselves and people of our race, our background, but other people as well. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he mentions in a beautiful hadith that al-muslimuna karajulin wahidin in ishtaka aynu ishtaka kullu wa in ishtaka ra'asu ishtaka kullu. That the parable of the Muslims and the parable of the believers is like the parable of one person. All the Muslims, their example is the example of one person. That if that person's one eye is hurting and is injured or something, the whole body is affected and the whole body experiences grief and sorrow. So if one limb, one body part of mine is affected, that doesn't affect just that body part and that limb, but it affects my whole body. When ishtaka ra'asu ishtaka kullu. If I have a headache, that headache is not only affecting my head, but it's affecting my whole body. So similarly, the Muslims and the believers in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, if somebody is injured, somebody needs help, somebody needs assistance, it doesn't matter which country they live in, it doesn't matter how far they are living from us, we do not forget about them. We do not overlook them. We do not say that, oh, forget it, you know, that person's from a different country, I'm not from that country, so it's fine with me. No, my dear respected brothers. That's why we see that in the teachings of Islam, there's a strong theme runs through the teaching of Islam about the importance of community and about the importance of being united. That's why we see that, for example, the congregational prayer, the prayer in congregation, in jama'ah, it's more blessed and you get more reward when? When you pray in congregation. If you perform on your own, you only get one reward of that salat, of that prayer. When you perform in congregation, that reward is multiplied many times. So why did it happen? Because you made an effort to make a community. You made an effort to unite. And we see the importance of the congregational prayer. We see the importance of Jummah prayer. That, for example, in all the many of the Arabian countries, recently, wherever their people have united together to go against the government or something, what day did it start off from? It started from Friday. It started after Jummah prayer. It started because everybody was united. Everybody was together. So it happened in Tunisia, it started on Friday. It happened in Egypt, it started on Friday. Now the joke was that Gaddafi, he got scared. That, you know, he was watching that in other places, it all started on Friday. So the joke was that he's going to send out a proclamation and he's going to make an announcement that from today onwards, there's no Friday in our country. We jump from Thursday till Saturday. So Friday, the Jummah prayer, that's when the whole community gets together. And that's why if there is a main masjid in your locality, and there are other masjids, you get more reward for performing prayer in a congregation where there are more people. So what do we understand from this? The importance of unity in a community. The importance of trying our utmost and trying our best to bring everybody together. So Islam is not a religion of being isolated from the community, doing my own stuff, living on my own, only worrying about myself. No, Islam is a religion that is explicitly social. The importance of community is everywhere reinforced in the practice of the teachings of Islam. And even if you look at the word community, It is made comprised of the word unity, C-O-M-M, and then U-N-I-T-Y. There can only be a community when there is unity in community. So my dear respected brothers and reverend elders and sisters in Islam, we understand the importance of unity in a community. But at the same time, we have to realize that there will be differences of opinion. And that is fine. Why? Because Allah has made people differently. We see in the classroom, there are some students who get straight A's, and some students, they try their utmost, try their best, but they cannot get straight A's. So Allah has created differently, and we will have differences of opinion. تَخْتَلِفُ الْآرَىٰ لَكِنْ لَا تَخْتَلِفُ الْقُلُوبِ Our opinions, they can vary and they can be different. تَخْتَلِفُ الْآرَىٰ لَكِنْ لَا تَخْتَلِفُ الْقُلُوبِ But the hearts should not be disunited. Our opinions and our methods of doing things, they can be different. But our hearts should always be united. Our hearts should always be together. I should never feel that, hey, this person gave an opinion, it's different from my opinion, so he probably doesn't like me, that's why he gave that opinion. We should never think that way. Allah has created people differently, but our hearts should not be disunited. Today we believe in freedom of expression. As long as everybody expresses what I express. Alright? We believe in freedom of expression, but as long as everybody expresses and says the same things which I say. We believe in freedom of thought, as long as everybody thinks like me. We believe in freedom of ideas, as long as everybody's ideas are same as mine. No, my dear respected brothers, this is wrong. Opinions can differ. Opinions can be different, but our hearts should always be united. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ That if you were strict and if you were harsh in your interactions and you're dealing with others, then people would have run away from you and they would have fled from you. So if we are hard-hearted, when we are harsh, we are strict when we deal with others, then people will naturally be disunited from us and they will not unite with us. So it's very important that we are soft, we are gentle, we are kind, we are soft-hearted. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ If people under us, if they make a mistake, we should forgive them. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ And seek forgiveness for them. Make tawbah for them. Ask Allah to forgive them. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ And also make sure you seek consultation and make mashwara with them and ask them for their opinions. So if we want community to be united, these are important points that we have to deal softly with people. We have to deal gently with people. We should forgive people's mistakes. We should seek forgiveness for them. And also, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ Seek their opinion. Ask them for their opinions. We shouldn't try to do things on our own. And so, when we want unity in a community or even in a family, we need to ask each other, take each other's consultation, ask each other's opinions. So it's very important, even for the husband and wife, that they need to consult with each other. If we want unity in a community, then we need to keep the beautiful teachings of the Prophet ﷺ. So now, we see the importance of uniting, even if there is disunity in a community, how important it is that once the Prophet ﷺ trying to explain the importance of making an effort to unite people, that some people from Bani Amr ibn Auf, between them there was some disagreements and they had some quarrel and fights and arguments amongst themselves. So the Prophet ﷺ went with some of his companions so that he could unite them and bring them together to such an extent that he was about to miss his congregational prayer as well. So he realized the importance of uniting the community and making effort to such an extent that he nearly missed his congregational prayer. So we need to keep this in mind as well, that if it is possible for us to bring the community together one way or another, then we should make every effort to bring communities together and to unite communities and to build up that social cohesion in the community. And we see that the Prophet ﷺ warning us about the harms of being disunited. He says, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِأَفْضَلَ مِنْ دَرَجَةِ الصِّيَامِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّدَقَةِ قَالُوا بَلَى قَالَ إِصْلَاحُ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ وَفَسَادُ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ هِيَ الْحَالِقَةِ وَمَعْنَى الْحَالِقَةِ أَيْ تَحْلِقُ الدِّينِ That the Prophet ﷺ says that, should I tell you something which is better than the reward of fasting and prayers and charity? And they said, for sure, tell us. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, trying your best and making an all-out effort to unite the community, to stay and remain together. Why? Because when there is disunity, when people are split and when people are apart, then this is something which will shave away a person's religion. When you're disunited, then many times people, they stay away from the masjid, they don't feel like coming to the masjid, or you know, they don't feel like doing religious activities, and it furthers them away to such an extent that they totally isolate themselves from the rest of the Muslim community. So the importance of keeping unity together, we see here that the Prophet ﷺ says that you get even more reward than fasting and performing salat and spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet ﷺ once mentioned to Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu that Unzur, فَإِنَّكَ لَسْتَ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ أَحْمَرَ وَلَا أَسْوَدَ إِلَّا أَن تَفْضُلَهُ بِالتَّقْوَى. Remember Abu Dharr, it doesn't matter who you are, but you are not better than someone who is red or who is black, except that if you have more taqwa than that person. So they would mention the color red, but the color red, it was used to explain the beautiful complexion, whitish, reddish complexion of the person, so they would use the word red. So the Prophet ﷺ says that you're not better than one color or another color, except that if you have more taqwa than the person. So my dear respected brothers, we need to ask ourselves that, are we in superiority complex? Do we feel that my race, my language, my country, my background, it is better than the other person's background because they're not same as me? Are we in that thought? Are we in that complex or not? If we are, then we should make tawbah and istighfar internally. And we should seek repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, this thought is from shaitan. Once there were some Muslims from different countries that were in the same vehicle and they were trying to cross the border. So the border guard asked that, well, what's your background? And he mentioned one Muslim country. And then he asked another person, he mentioned another Muslim country. And then he mentioned another Muslim country. And the fourth one said another Muslim country. And the fifth one said another Muslim country. The guard at the border was so surprised. And he was so happy. And he was thinking that how did this happen? That people from so many countries, all of you guys in the same vehicle. How did this unity happen? Well, my dear respected brothers, we know what is the cause of this unity. What has brought all of us together tonight. It is our belief in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So let us keep this in front of us. Islam has united us all. Islam will unite us. As mentioned in that nasheed of Brother Dawood Wormsby, he mentions that Islam will unite us all. So we need to keep this in front of us. But now sometimes what happens is that naturally when people from different races, different backgrounds, different cultures, they get together in one room, they're together, then there will be differences. And there are some causes of disunity in a community. And this is very important for us to pay attention to. One of the biggest reasons why communities sometimes get split across North America is because of fiqh. Fiqh is the method of carrying out different things of Islam. Like how to perform our prayers, how to fast, how to go for pilgrimage, to perform hajj. So sometimes this disunites communities. Why? Because we do not differentiate between halal and what's haram and what's wajib, what's sunnah, what's nafil, what's mustahab, what's mubah. All these are technical terms. And everything's not haram. There's more to Islam than just haram. Each category, it has its own level, it has its own importance. If something is haram, that's different than something that is, for example, makruh, that is disliked. If something is halal, or something that's fard, that's mandatory, that's different than something which is mubah, which you could do if you want to and you don't have to if you don't feel like it. But we don't differentiate between that. And because of not differentiating, communities get disunited. And then there's fights and there's arguments between the brothers and between the sisters in the community. For example, the prayer. One person feels that, I'm correct because I follow this sheikh, and he has this much knowledge, and he's this and he's that. And because of that, every single person of the world should be following my sheikh and nobody else. And what he says is correct and everybody else is wrong. And my sheikh says that I need to put my hand in my prayer, I need to put it in this certain place, in this certain way. And whoever doesn't do it this way, they're all wrong. Now this will, when we have this thought, and we make these comments, this will disunite a community. Why? Because we have not understood the differences of opinion. There have been differences of opinion for over 1,000 years. And suddenly I or my sheikh in the year 2011, somehow I feel that, you know, something dawned upon me, something opened up in front of me, or some link came up in Google, and because of that I'm right, and everybody for 1400 years they've been wrong. No, my dear respected brothers, when we have this thought, when we deal with Islamic issues in this manner, this will disunite communities. There are valid differences of opinion. And we find more than one hadith about, for example, where to place our hands when we perform prayers. We find different teachings, for example, how to call the iqamah. There are certain people who call it in a certain way. They repeat some things in a certain number, and there are some people who do not do it that way. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what's wrong is when I feel that I'm right and everybody else is wrong. Now, how would you feel if the imam is performing the salat in one way, one method, and whoever is not doing it like the imam, if the imam says that I'm right, and all of you people who are not performing salat like me, all of you are wrong, so you need to change your method of prayer. What will happen? It will disunite the community. So this is one of the main reasons why communities are disunited. Because we feel that my method of doing something is right, and all the other scholars of the world, thousands and thousands of scholars over 1400 years, you know, they weren't smart, or they didn't know, or they're all wrong, and I'm right, and my scholar is right, my sheikh is right, everybody else is wrong. My dear respected brothers, this is the wrong way of looking at things. We need to understand the valid differences of opinion, and we need to learn how to be tolerant towards each other's opinions. Now, there are many scholars in the world. For example, you know, when we stand for prayers, there are some of us, mashallah, that since we were small, when we would stand up for prayers, you know, we would touch our feet with the person next beside us. Now, there are many people of the world that since they were small, they were taught that you don't have to do that. You don't have to touch your foot with the foot of the next person. And this is not some new opinion. If you look at many of the scholars of the world, of the history of Islam, they have said that you don't have to touch the foot of the next person. And they understood the hadith in a certain manner, in a certain way. So now if I as an imam, or if I see somebody standing beside me and he's not touching my foot, if I start stomping and stepping on that person's foot, that is wrong. Or if somebody is touching their foot with my foot and I try to move it away as if like there's some disease or something wrong with that person's foot, then this is wrong, my dear respected brothers. We need to be tolerant. And sadly to say, as Muslims, we're not tolerant today. You know, we complain about how other, how non-Muslims treat us or how the media treats us. But even we amongst ourselves, we're so mean with each other. We look down upon each other so much. So my dear respected brothers, it's very important that as a community we are tolerant towards the other opinion. But obviously there has to be some basis in that. For example, if somebody comes tomorrow and starts performing their salat but does it in the opposite way, like, you know, sits down first and then goes in sajda and then goes in ruku and then stands up, you know, we're going to say this is wrong. Why? Because nobody holds this opinion. There is no religious, pious scholar who has ever held this opinion. So if there's no basis at all for some action, then obviously we don't accept that. But if there is some basis, then we need to realize to be able to accept it. And the correct version of Islam, it's not limited to a certain country. The correct version of Islam, it's not limited to a certain country that only the people of this country, they have truly understood Islam and nobody else has. Why? Because Imam Bukhari rahmahullah, Imam Muslim, Imam Abu Dawud, Imam Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, the six famous compilers of these hadith, if we look at their history, not one of them were born in an Arabic-speaking country. Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, all these six compilers of famous books of hadith, not one of them were born in an Arabic-speaking country. Does that mean somehow that their books are not valid enough, or they're not authentic enough? So my dear respected brothers, the religion of Islam is not confined to the understanding of the scholars of a certain country. If you understand the Arabic language, irrespective of what your background, what your race is, you know, you will be able to understand the religion of Islam correctly or you know, you translate it and you explain it to others in the native language of that country. One of the first reasons, or one of the main reasons why communities are disunited, is because of fiqh, because of the method of how to perform salat and things of that nature. Now, we can understand the harms of disunity. For example, somebody asked the imam, that, oh imam, when I stand up for prayers, where should I be placing my hands? Now, if the imam is not tolerant, if the imam is not somebody who's uniting the community, this is what the imam will say, that the way I'm doing, that's correct, and all the other ways, that is wrong, and they're wrong because the hadith never reached the scholars of that background or of that opinion, and because the hadith never reached him, so that's why they have this wrong opinion, they're wrong, you should not be doing it that way, you should be doing it the way I'm doing. This will disunite the community if the imam speaks like this. Why? Because the opinions which we act upon today, they're not based on one person's opinion centuries ago. They're based on the opinions which are refined over centuries. So if I'm doing something today, and I come across a teaching of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, and my action is contrary to that, I will leave my opinion and I will stick with the hadith or with the teachings of the Qur'an. And we find this in the books of fiqh, that sometimes the scholars will say that, you know, this opinion is there of these scholars, but because it goes against the hadith, we will leave this opinion, and they will strongly oppose that opinion on the basis that it's contradicting the hadith. So the first way that the imam can respond is that, you know, what I'm doing is right, everybody else is wrong, and they're wrong because, for example, the hadith never reached him. And sadly to say, sometimes there are famous scholars on the internet, you know, who answer questions like this, and who cause disunity, who are not tolerant enough to accept other people's opinions. And then the second way of answering is that what I'm doing is correct, and the person doesn't talk about the imam or somebody who's answering that question, he doesn't mention the other opinions, and totally ignores the other opinions. The third way of answering the question, for example, is where should I place my hands, is the way I'm doing it, I feel that is correct, but the other opinions, they're correct as well, according to their scholars. So I don't belittle, I don't mock, I don't make fun of other opinions if they are opinions of pious religious scholars. So it's very important that the imam in a community is somebody who unites the community. Otherwise, you know, it's very, very easy for our masjids to be broken down into this masjid is of a certain race, of a certain language, of a certain country, and we don't want that happening. So one reason why communities are disunited today, sadly, is because of the issue of fiqh. The second reason why many communities are split today across North America is because of the moon sighting issue. Because of the moon fighting issue. That, you know, there are three famous opinions. One is that we follow whatever is taking place in Saudi Arabia. That's one opinion. The second opinion is the Isna opinion. That as long as it is sightable, as long as you can see it, that's enough to start Ramadan and to finish Ramadan and for the Hajj days. And the third opinion is that if it's seen in these countries in North America and neighboring countries. Now if you look at it, all three opinions, they have their pros and their cons. They're the good aspects of it and the wrong aspects of it. There's no one opinion which we can say that is the correct opinion and that everybody else is wrong. You can't say that. For example, in the opinion of, for example, when we say local moon sighting, but that local has stretched over so many countries and it's spread over so many continents now that it's not even local anymore. It's spread to over, more than one continent, and people accept opinions from different countries. So it's not a matter of like your own town or your own city, but it's spread to so many countries. And then if we look at the opinion, for example, of Saudi Arabia, that in Saudi Arabia, you know, people have such strong eyesight that even the astronomers cannot see the moon with the binoculars, but people see it in that country, some people. So what they're doing, it's not wrong, because the Prophet ﷺ says if somebody comes and says that they have seen the moon, you have to accept their evidence. So even if all the astronomers of the world are saying that it's not possible to sight the moon, they will still sight the moon and they will accept that sighting. So Islamically it's correct, but for us in this day and age of 2011, it's very hard for us to accept this. Because all the astronomers who can predict what will happen 50 years from now, and how the moon will be and how the sun will be, at what time there will be solar eclipse and lunar eclipse, and they can tell from now to the minute. Now if the same people are saying it's impossible to decide and people still see it, you know, and the decision is made. So Islamically, what they're doing is correct, but when we look at modern day technology and everything, it's hard for us to accept that. Or the third opinion is the Isna opinion, that even if it's not sighted by anybody, even if somebody doesn't see it, as long as it's there, even if there's clouds there, you know, they accept that opinion. But at least the moon is there. You know, at least they decide when the moon is there. If it's not there, then they don't decide on that day. So communities are disunited. But what we have to realize is that all three opinions, they're correct in their own method, in their own way. And when a community, when a masjid organization decides on one of these three opinions, then we should go with that. Because it's not like if I don't follow Isna, or if I don't follow Saudi Arabia, or if I don't follow the local moon sighting, then I'm sinning. It's not that. We cannot say that somebody is sinning if they follow or if they do not follow one of the three opinions. So we need to be tolerant, respectful, accepting and appreciative of other opinions. As long as they do not contradict the teachings of the Qur'an and the Hadith, and as long as they're not openly going against the Qur'an and the Hadith. At the end of the day, it all boils down to interpretation. At the end of the day, it's how scholars interpret things. And there's nothing wrong with having differences of opinion. I mean, you go to one doctor, you have some sickness, and you try to go and ask the doctor, you know, why is this sickness? And they'll mention one reason. You go to another doctor for the same sickness, they'll prescribe you something else. You go to a third one, and they'll say something else. And they will all contradict each other. So similarly, in Islam as well, there are differences of opinion. That's natural, because people are created differently. But as long as it's not contradicting, you know, the teachings of the Qur'an and the Hadith, then we should be accepting of that opinion. So that's another second reason why many communities are disunited. A third minor reason why some communities are disunited in North America is because of the issue of the Taraweeh prayers and how many numbers. What is the adadu rak'ah? That how many rak'ahs of the Taraweeh prayers are there? Are they 8 rak'ahs or 20 rak'ahs? Now in one masjid there was a huge disagreement, a huge fight in one masjid. That one group is saying there's 8 rakats and nobody's allowed to pray more than 8. And the other group is saying that no, we're going to pray 20. So they took their issue and their matter to a scholar. So when the scholar heard this disagreement, the scholar said that, no, why don't you do this? After Isha prayer, lock down the masjid and close the masjid and shut the masjid. So they said that, Sheikh, why are you telling us this? So the scholar replied that unity of the community, unity and being together, that's wajib and that's farad and that's mandatory. That's compulsory. Being united in a community, that's compulsory. And the Taraweeh prayers, they are sunnah. It's not mandatory, it's not farad, it's not wajib, it's not compulsory. It's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So because of a sunnah, if the whole community is going to be disunited, it's better if you just shut down the masjid. So once again, why does this happen? Because of being intolerant. Because of not being wide enough and not being accepting enough of other opinions which are different than mine. Everybody doesn't have to think like me. Everybody doesn't have to talk like me. Everybody doesn't have to dress like me. But nowadays in Canada and the US and Western countries, they make this comment that, you know, Muslims are not assimilating enough. But nobody has truly said what they mean by that statement. What do you mean when you say that Muslims are not assimilating enough? It's impossible for everybody to dress the same. It's impossible for everybody to look the same. And those who are racist, they'll always find one reason or another to find some flaw, some mistake, and to point out your mistake or to hate you. The haters will always find one reason or another to hate you. So when the general public is saying that Muslims are not assimilating enough, what do you actually really truly mean by that? To dress like you? To talk like you? To eat like you? To look like you? Why is that important? Why is that necessary? What's wrong with people looking differently? What's wrong with people dressing differently? What's wrong with people talking differently? What's wrong with people eating differently? So back to this point here is that, you know, if there's a difference of opinion, let us be smart enough. Let us be emotionally strong enough to be able to accept the other opinion. And the fourth reason why communities are disunited, and this even happened in my community just a few months ago. And this community here is famous for this issue because it has gone national and international. The issue of the barrier and the curtain between the males and the females. That how important is it to put a barrier and to put a curtain or to put the separation between the males and the females. This is a major issue which is taking place in many masjids across North America today. Even in our masjid a few months ago this happened. Well, we know that as Sheikh Fayaz mentioned today, that in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, there was no barrier. There was no separation or anything like that. That is the original ruling. And everything else is secondary. Everything else is secondary. But at the same time, as mentioned previously as well, that at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, for example, the males and the females, they would finish the prayers together, but then the females would leave the masjid, and then the Prophet ﷺ would send somebody to make sure that everybody, the females had gone back home, and then after that, the males would be able to, would be allowed to get up and go and do whatever they wanted to. And also their entrance to the masjid, the doors to the masjid, it was separate. The males had one entrance, the females had another entrance. But the default ruling is that there was no separation, there were no barrier, for whatever reason. So we cannot push an issue because of our emotional reasons and because of how we feel if it does not have any basis in Islam. We understand the importance of it. And why? Because we also want to show our children, our youth and our teenagers about the importance of segregation in Islam. That when there is no segregation in society, when everybody is intermingling today, we see today in the high schools that in America every single year 3 million teenagers are affected with sexually transmitted diseases. Every year, 3 million youngsters and youth. Every year, there is 1 million girls who are becoming pregnant, and they're teenagers. Every single year. And many of them end up in abortion. So why does this happen? Because of no segregation. Look what's happening at the workplace. There was a survey done of thousands of people, and more than 60% of the people in that poll, they said that they cheated and they had an office affair. Why did this happen once again? Because of no segregation. So Islam emphasizes on the point of segregation, but that has to be based on the teachings of Islam. And if there is a reason, and we see today all across North America, so many masjids are different from other masjids. For example, in our masjid, you know, there's a big prayer hall, fits about like 400 people. So right in the prayer hall, there's a curtain which goes from the back of the masjid to the front of the masjid in the same prayer hall. And then the sisters pray there and the males pray on the other side of the curtain. So right in the prayer hall, there's a curtain going right across. And then in some masjids, for example, you have just walls and they cannot see anything. They cannot, you know, there's no videos, no screens or anything. And then in other masjids, there is no separation. There is no barrier. The males are in the front. Brothers are in the front, sisters are in the back. So they're doing that way. And then some other masjids, they have a barrier made out of wood or whatever else. It looks really good and it's up to the waist or something and that's about it. So there's so many different forms, the separation and this parda and this barrier in so many masjids across North America. So as a community, especially when you will be building, inshallah, the new masjid, you have to keep this in mind. What is the best thing for your community? What will unite the community? And if some sisters want it one way, you have to cater to them as long as it's based on the teachings of Islam. If some sisters want it a different way, you have to cater to their wishes and to their demands. So we cannot base the decisions on our own emotions. For example, there are some people who say that, you know, you should not be mentioning the names of females or the name of your wife in front of males. So this is based on person's emotions or their thoughts. Or their feelings. But this is not based on any teaching of Islam. You know, personally, myself and other fellow classmates, we look for this issue, that do we find anywhere in the teachings of Islam which tells us that you are not allowed to mention the names of females in front of other males? And we didn't find any evidence for that. So sometimes things are based on our emotions, on our feelings. But Islam is not based on our feelings, how we feel, how we want something to be. No, it is based on sound, authentic teachings. So my dear respected brothers and revered elders and sisters in Islam, we need to keep the beautiful teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the beautiful pristine teachings of the religion of Islam in front of us. We need to act upon it. We need to be united as a community. We have people in this gathering, in our communities from so many different countries, so many different backgrounds, so many different races, so many different languages. Let not these differences, let it not be the cause of us being disunited. You know, naturally we will feel inclined to talk to people of our own background, or with people of our own race. There's nothing wrong with that. But at a minimum, we should be saying salam to everybody. Salam ala man arafta wa man lam ta'rif. We say salam to people who we know, we recognize, they're from our race, from our background, or they're not. Why? Because Islam has united us all. So I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah give us all the tawfiq to understand and to realize how important it is for us to be united in a community and how beneficial it is. And may we all realize the harms and the detriments and the ill effects of a community being disunited. We should always read that whenever I say something, I should make sure that that will be the cause of uniting the community. I should not be saying anything which will cause disunity in the community, because why? That same statement, either it can enter me into paradise, or that same statement, it can take me into the hellfire. Why? Because with that one statement, I brought the community together, and with one sentence, I disunited the community. So if we know that I'm going to be the cause of disuniting the community, I stay quiet. I don't utter my opinion. I keep my opinion to myself for the greater good, for the greater cohesion, for the greater unity in the community. So I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah utilize all of us to be the cause of Muslims being united, and may Allah not make us from those who are the cause of disunity in Muslim communities across North America. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan.
JazakAllahu khair, Sheikh. Again, takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
And again, may Allah give us the tawfiq to become a united ummah. It is only as a united ummah that we can be an effective, productive, and a religious ummah, and truly fulfill the honor that has been given to us by Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam.